Here's Paul speaking to Timothy, and he's giving him some good advice on some things he needs to do in his life. Let's pick up in verse number 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear unto all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Before we pray, let's straighten that out. Don't want anybody to get confused this morning. You can't save yourself, nor can you save anybody else. Jesus does that. But he's talking in the end of this verse in chapter 16, saving yourself. He said if you'll stay the old time way, the way that you was taught, the way that you know to go, he said you will save yourself and people that hear you from the things in verse number 1, which Paul says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in later times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of the devils, false prophets, evil spirits. He said that's what you'll save yourself from. We want to straighten that out. Didn't want anybody to get the wrong idea this morning. Would you pray with us and for us this morning? Father, we come to you sure thankful for this day. Lord, we sure thank you for your presence. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy and thank you for your grace. God, I pray as we stand before you this morning, Lord, and before this church, God, I pray that you'd fill us with your Spirit. Lord, help us to be emptied of self. God, for it ain't our message that'll do anything. It's your message that needs to be preached this morning. I pray, God, that you'd talk to each heart and that you'd draw each one in. Father, stir the church this morning. Lord, show us our sin, Lord, that we'd confess it and get it right before you. I pray, God, that you'd meet the need of the hour. And Father, most of all, if there's one here that's lost and know not thee and their free pardon of sin, Lord, would you just draw them this morning, Lord, that they'd come to you for it be forever too late. God, thank you for being so good to us, but most of all, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, taking our place. Father, thank you for being here this morning, and thank you for all that you do for us. Lord, would you just touch us this morning, anoint us and help us, and hide us behind the cross, and make preaching easy. Set a guard about our lips that, Lord, we wouldn't say anything foolish or fleshly, confusing or misleading. But God, would you just move in a mighty way. Lord, don't let nothing or nobody quench the Spirit this morning. Lord, we just give ourselves to you. And Lord, we pray that whatever you do will be right. In the precious name of Jesus, I do humbly pray. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter number 4 there. He's giving some instructions there. And we can see a lot of times in life that the Christian, a lot of people look at the Christian or a lot of people that claim to be Christians, they'll say that once you get saved, that's all there is to it. Just get saved and just take each day by day, and then whatever comes your way, you'll be in heaven. But that's not the case today. That's not what Paul is teaching Timothy in this letter that he's telling him. He said there's some things that you've got to do, and what I want to talk to you about this morning is there's some things that it's going to take for you to live for God. And I hope that's your prayer this morning, that you can live for God. But it's going to take some things to do that. It's not just getting saved. It's not just showing up at church. It's not just the giving of your tithes and your times. It's an everyday thing that you have to do if you're going to walk with God.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you something. You ain't going to be a Christian if you ain't going to walk with God. That is part of being a Christian, is walking with God. It's doing what God wants us to. It's about our service. It's about our talking. And we're going to go through some things here today about what Paul told Timothy. He said there's some things you got to go with. Now, it's not a church constitution or things like that, and all that's good, and bylaws, we can have all that. But I tell you, the greatest help we'll have as a Christian is to get into our Word of God and live by it. Apply it to our lives. He said you need to study these things. You need to meditate on these things. You need to listen to what you've been taught. Paul told Timothy, he said you've had some good things growing up. Brother Tom brought out Sunday school this morning. He said he had one of the best mentors to help you. She was coming up, and I did. I'm going to give you another thing, too. I got one of the greatest today. I'm going to get over.
for you to live for God. Somebody might be here today and might say, we've heard in Sunday school, we've been in preaching where he's talking to Timothy, and Timothy's a minister of some kind. He's a preacher of some kind. Maybe these verses are just geared toward preachers. No, these verses are geared towards all Christians.
Amen.
You see, everybody is in the ministry once they get saved.
Amen.
Everybody is called a preacher, but everybody's in ministry. Well, we just said amen right there. When God saves you, there's some things about your life that you need to show others.
Amen.
Everybody is in the ministry, but I don't want to be preacher. I didn't call you, should God save you. Just like somebody would say, well, I'm going to go to heaven, just not today. Well, it ain't on your timetable. It's whatever God calls you on. This life ain't on your timetable. You know we have planners, we have schedules, and we put things down of how we want to do things. But to walk a Christian life, it's not what you want to do, it's what God wants to do through you. It's what's important, what matters. A lot of times we think it's us. But let me give you something. Let me go ahead and hurt everybody's feelings in here. You might have a little bit of feelings. God don't need you. We need
him. Amen.
God will bless you. There's some people that walk up down through the church and they think, this ain't what he knows. I'm gone.
Right.
Well, let me tell you something. There's exercise above the door. You try.
Amen.
But God will bless you. You can have 10 ladies. God will bless them. Amen. God knows who he wants in his church. And I know who God wants in our church. I want people that want to be a part of our family, that want to give glory to God, that want to praise him, that want to sing about him, that want to testify about him.
Amen.
I believe the Bible when it says you better mark those and bring drama, bring division, bring things like that. It's going to mess you up. Judy said, you know what? They come into that side door. When they start coming in the side door, we need to put them right back out. I'm all for having church sign that says, well, but you know what? Everybody ain't welcome in here.
Right.
You better watch what you let into the church. Church, we better watch what we let in here. It's important. The Bible says they come in here today, wolves in sheep's clothing. Well, my goodness, they know the Bible. Boy, they sure sing a song. Boy, they sure quote that scripture. Boy, they sure they there every time. Boy, they dress right, they talk right, they look right. The Bible says that was the same way the wolves was.
Right.
Well, they must be right. They carry the King James Version. Well, that's a good sign they got. It's a good thing to have to carry the King James Bible. That don't make you safe.
Right.
Don't make them right with God. They've been in church all their life. That don't make them right with God.
Amen.
What's Paul trying to teach Timothy here? He said, there's some things, it's going to take some things for you to live for God. Every one of us here will please God. How do you will please God? We owe God that gratitude. The psalm says, everything has been our praise God.
Amen.
We owe God this morning, and all God wants you to do, buddy. That's what he wants you to do. Because if you live for him, you'll be obedient and you'll love him like he should be there for you. Paul said, Timothy, listen to these verses right here. He said, I'm going to teach you something. I'm going to show you something. Let me get into the message. By way of outline this morning, if you're taking notes, it says it's going to take something to live for God. Number one, it takes a transformation. It takes a transformation. You can't live for God if you're lost. That transformation means you must be saved. You must be saved. You must be regenerated. The Bible talks about that regeneration. The Bible talks about you got to be saved. There's got to be some changed behavior about you. And see, that's what it is. We are sinners by birth. We have to be transformed.
Amen.
We're sinners by birth. Well, Romans 5:12, a word for it's one man. Sin entered into the world by him. The Bible says we're sinners by birth. We're sinners by behavior. It ain't in you to always do good. Do the right thing. It's not. I know some of us like portray ourselves as good moral people, but I'm going to tell you something about us. There's times when we can be stingy, we can be selfish, we can be frightened. All of that lives inside of every one of us. That might not always rear its ugly head, but it is inside of every one of us. Paul said, you told the ropes by the flesh. And one of the things you need to live in the flesh, you live in the spirit. Brother Mark Cooper preached a message one time about the two birds. He said, if you feed one, you'll starve the other. If you'll feed the spirit, you'll starve the flesh.
Right.
Paul told him also in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, let me read this. He said, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Things inside of you, things down here. He said, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil conspicuous, covetous, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Our behaviors. It takes a transformation to live to God. Preacher, I just want to get saved. I don't want to do the right things. When you get saved, you ought to have a walk to, a different walk to about you. People say, well, I want to get saved, but I can't live any way I want to. Sure you can. You can get saved and live any way you want to, but you want to want to change. That's the thing. There'll be something inside of you that wants to go to church, that wants to listen to that gospel music, that wants to read your Bible, that wants to treat everybody kind, that wants to be good to people, that wants to forgive people. Those are the things that are coming inside of you when you get saved. That are bigger than what you want to do. I want to love people. That's what I want to do. And I want to tell you something. Living out in this world, it's hard to love everybody. That's why the Bible says, strive to live peacefully with all men. And what I've learned is to have peace in my life, I'll separate from those that bring that bad symbol out of me.
Right. Amen.
You better learn that separation in your life. The Bible teaches that. Separate from the world. That's in 2 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 5 says you will have to have some separation in your church.
Right.
Not everybody you go to church with, you can't go out and grill hamburgers with. You can't go to the park and take a walk with everybody who goes into church. There must be separation in the church. Acts talks about that. Paul said sometimes preachers have to separate. We might have our business, but we ain't been too good when we get together. But if we separate, we can be about our business.
Amen.
Family members must separate. Genesis chapter number 13. Remember that? Abraham and Lot, they couldn't live together. They not only fought, the Bible said their animals fought. Their own animals couldn't even get along. They was fighting with each other. Abraham said, we got to do something. You go one way and I'll go one way. Anyway, whichever way you go, but this ain't working.
Right.
Sometimes it takes separation. Does that mean that Abraham did not love Lot? I didn't even get saying it. Abraham prayed for Lot even when he died into Sodom and Gomorrah.
Right.
Abraham was still praying for him. And I believe that God's grace and Abraham praying is what brought Lot out of that. There must be some separation. Sometimes you've got to separate those things in your life. It takes a transformation. Let me give you another one right here. It takes trying. Look at verse number 12. He said, but be thou an example of believers. And what he's talking about is trying right here, just being an example. It's saying because of our composition right here, what we are inside of us, right? We are a same being. We are a same soul. Inside the flesh of being is what you are, inside the flesh of God. Well, Paul writes in that gospel, he said, you know what? He said, this spirit, this flesh, he said, they're going to have wars. They're going to have battles. You ain't always going to feel like getting up and reading your Bible. You ain't always going to feel like getting on your knees and praying. You ain't always feel like going to church every time you're going to church. But you do that anyway.
Amen.
And when you do that, you see God go a bit further for you. And what did God give you? Sometimes when I'm the sickest and when I'm the smartest, if I will spend some time with God, I'm telling you that wind will come in. That wind will come in.
Yeah.
What does he do when he does that? He'd be surprised. The strength, the peace, and the joy that he'll pick you up. My goodness, God, so good to us. That wind. Serve God. Live for God. Do what's right with God. He said it takes trying. He said, none of the boys would say it takes right there to try. Let's look at that. He said in word, right? The way that we talk. Does our words bring grace to hear? Does our words boast of Jesus Christ? What kind of jokes do we tell? What kind of language are we talking about? How are we talking around others? Paul said, Timothy, you need to be an example of these believers in the way that you talk. You ought to have your speech the way it ought to be seasoned with salt, what Paul says. He said, talk in a way that uplifts people. That there's already enough negative talk. There's a lot of people out there in this world that be quick to preach you and your family back. They'll find everything they can find. Put you down to analyze your life because you say you go to church, because you say you go, you are a Christian. They are going to look at every aspect of your life and see if they can find one little thing wrong. They'll do that to you. And you know how you combat that right there? You just say, I ain't perfect. I'm a work in progress.
Amen.
But I'll save my grace.
Right.
I'm not perfect. I'm getting dead healed for a perfect preacher. You better start searching somewhere else. Because it ain't me.
Amen.
It ain't me. But I do love the Lord this morning. And I'm telling you, everyone in this room, I love each and every one of you this morning.
Amen.
I love you this morning, but I'm not perfect. I stumble every day. And I fail God every day. But I'm glad that He picks me up and He sets my feet on that rock because He knows there's things I can't do by myself. It takes a try. He said in your words. What else does He say right there? Let's keep going. In conversation, in your conduct, right? More than just words, more than the way you talk. Paul's sitting there telling Timothy, it's not just about your talk. He said it's about your walk.
Right.
Your walk. Your conduct. Then He says right there, be cheered. What you love and what you do not love speaks volumes about your life. Do you love the things of God? Are you more in love of the world? You remember Genesis when that old king came to Abraham and he said, remember he had two kings, the king of Sodom and the king of Satan. Which one did Abraham love more? Which one did Abraham go after more? And that's the same thing with me and you today. What do we love more? Are we more in love with God or are we more in love with the world? Preacher, you don't know the world's why I earn my paycheck. No, it's not. God didn't give you the strength to get up out of your bed. You wouldn't have no paycheck. God gives you everything you need. Your job don't take care of you. God takes care of you.
Amen.
You cherish what you love, what you don't love. Well, I really don't love the world, but I like some things in it. It's all going to come out in testimony, I promise you that. It all comes out where you go, who you're hanging out with, what you listen to. What about the music you listen to? Does it edify the Lord? Your music. What about the TV shows that you watch? Does it edify the Lord? And I'm going to tell you something. It's hard to find anything you watch with your family anymore.
Amen.
And then somebody will say, it's always Disney, baby. That's what you listen to on Disney.
Yeah. Amen.
You got to be careful what you let sink into your minds. He said in your word, in your conversation, He said in your charity. He also said in your faith, or excuse me, in your spirit. Your attitude, your zeal, your dedication, your devotions in life, your spirit. You ever heard people say, well, they've got such a sweet spirit about them. They've got such a good spirit about them. Your attitude, the way that you conduct yourself. You know what? You can have a good spirit about you, you can have a bad spirit about you. I have met people in church that I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, they've got a bad spirit about them.
Amen.
A lot of times we're going to look it up in our mind and say, well, everybody's good. I'm telling you, there's some people that just have a bad spirit about it. Well,
right.
Now, they need to get that fixed and get that worked out. It ain't up to me to call their sins out to them. It ain't up to me to call it out to nobody else. The Bible tells me that's it. Galatians chapter 6, sin all for sorrow. But that can be me with a bad spirit. For sorrow. Pray for them. Talk to them in love. Seek to find out. He said in faith, what we stand on. What you stand on? What do you stand on today? You stand on mom and daddy's teachings? You stand on what grandpa told you when you was a little boy? A little girl? Maybe what grandma showed you? How about standing on the word of God?
Amen.
Let your faith be by that. This is the greatest instruction manual in the world right here. It's an instruction manual for directions in life. It answers every question that the world can come up with. There's an answer to the Bible. Pretty sure I can't find it. The Bible says in James, any man lack wisdom, then ask God and give it liberally. If you don't understand something, if you don't know something, ask God and have you understand that. So you can stand on His Word and have the right standards. That also goes to the next one. What is it? Purity.
Amen.
Purity. Our morals. Our standards. Some people's got good morals, some people's got bad morals. Your purity of life, how you conduct yourself. What you stand on. What matters to you? It also goes back to love. All this right here goes together. Because you know what? Let me tell you something. If you do not respect yourself, don't respect anybody else's respect. And you'll see it a lot of times that when people have love and respect for themselves in the way that they talk, in the way that they dress, in the way that they act, it lets them
know if they have any kind of standard, any kind of orders, any kind of text. And those things are so important because I'm going to tell you something. Paul said, told Timothy, he said, be an example. Why would he tell us to be an example? There are people that watch us. Be an example. What was the first thing Paul told Timothy? You remember verse 12? Let no man despise thy youth. Timothy was in his 30s. He said, Timothy, there's something down. He said, not look down. But he said, the way to earn their respect is to live your life in person.
Amen.
He said, that's how you earn respect. You know how you earn respect of others around you? Living up in person. Let me be okay. You know what? I tell you, well, if I stand for some things, I might lose some friends. They might laugh at me. They might make fun of me. But you know what? You just might get a closer walk with Jesus, which is the most important thing. When all men walk out in life, that's when Jesus is going to walk in.
Right.
There's going to be people that leave you in your walk of life. You're going to have relationships that fail in your life. You're going to have friendships that fail in your life. You're going to have jobs that go away in your life. You're going to have family members that can walk out of you in your life. But the one person that will never walk out of you is God.
Amen.
I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. God will not ever abandon you. You might be here today, and your old mom and dad. You know what Psalms 27 said? Well, my mother probably leave me, then the Lord will take me up.
Amen.
God's never going to leave me. He'll always be with you. He'll walk with you, and all you want to do is walk with him. He'll take you all the way to the kingdom of the world. All the way to heaven. It's going to take something to live for God. It takes transformation. It takes trial. Let's keep going. It takes time. Verse 13 says, till I come, give attendance. Takes time. Verse 13 talks about reading. Verse 15 talks about meditating. Then it's going to take some time for you to study if you want to live for God.
Right.
Well, preach right up and live out the Bible. Well, how much time do you put in your Bible? Heard what Bud Stiller said one time. He said, we can only learn to get our faith in this book.
Yeah.
Y'all get that a little bit. We get our faith in this book, Brother Earl. It helps. It takes time for study. Let me tell you what else it takes time for. It takes time for supplication. Matthew 6:6, you remember that where Jesus was talking about the prayer closets? How many of us here today have a place where we have a prayer closet? Preacher, I can't even get in my closet. My closet's so full. You don't have to have an actual closet to pray in. What he's telling us right there is you need to find you a place to steal away from the world.
Amen.
You've got to get separated from the world. You can't pray with the TV on there. You can't pray with the radio playing. You can't pray with the kids all in your ear saying, Mom, Daddy, I need this. You can't pray with all that sort of thing. Still, find you a place for that supplication and steal away and pray. And even Jesus taught us that. He says that he withdrew from the wilderness and prayed. He got away from everything that was going on in the world. The world will clog our mind. The devil loves nothing more than to get in a child of God's mind and distract him from praying. Read your word. You know what you have to do? It's a behavior for the edge you have to do. You have to train your mind to study. You need to train your mind to pray. You should train your mind that you know what on Saturday night. You don't say, well, I don't know what I'm doing tomorrow. But you know what? I'm going to the house of God tomorrow. That's what's important. That's where I go tomorrow. And then everybody else that comes will look at the timetable on it later.
Amen.
It takes time for service, right? That's what Hebrews 10:25 says. Not forsaking the assembling ourselves together. It takes time to live for God. You're going to have to get you in the church. It'll help you. You can't live for God if you don't go to church.
Right.
You've got to get in the church. Church is what encourages you. Church is when we come together and edify His name. Church is for teaching, for preaching, for singing, for testifying, for praying. We need each other. It's hard enough to go by yourself. But I'm going to tell you something. The devil would love nothing more than to let you get off by yourself. Because you're easier to pick up by yourself. The devil knows we give him a lot of trouble when we gather together.
Right.
He gives him fits. Because he knows when we gather together, there's power in the services. When we come together and pray, he knows there's power in that. Let's get on to our next one. It takes time. It takes care of you. It says in verse 16, continue in them. What does continue in? We talked about that. That old time way of continuing in them. I love to sing out the church hymns. I love that. I love them old songs that sing about the blood, the book, and bless the hope. I love those songs, are you washed in the blood? I love victory in Jesus. I love I'll fly away. I love amazing grace. I love when I travel my last mile, he'll hold my head. I love those old songs. I love it when I hear preaching at the King James Bible. That's what preachers I'm gonna listen to. I mean, you can't tell me the truth about the word. I can't trust anybody you want to tell me. I know this is the truth right here. I want to hear somebody preach me that King James Bible. And I want to continue in that kind of teaching in my life, that doctrine, that instruction that I need. Why is that? So you will spiritually progress in life.
Amen.
He said, neglect not the gift. Let me tell you something. If you don't exercise the gifts that God gave you, you'll lose them. It takes exercising those things. It takes using those things. Friends, I don't even know what my gifts are. I don't always know what your gifts are. God gives me what your gift is. I promise I'll let you know. Ask God what your gift is. Some of you know what some of your gift might be. It might just be praying for your church. It might be the gift God's given. It might be your smile. It might be your hug. It might be your encouraging word. It might just be your faithful attendance in God's house is what your gift is.
Amen.
It might be that you can do things for others. It might be that you always send the best card. Well, Miss Laura sends good cards too. We're bragging on her for a minute, but it's God who put that in this divorce. Maybe it's a phone call, maybe it's a text. Maybe you know what, you might have put your words together. I struggle with that, putting my words together. My heart can be in the right place, and then, buddy, my words just be all tangled up. And I won't even know what I said. Much less in my face. When it starts to happen, then Lord bless you. I love you. That's all I'm going to say about that. God's good. It takes those things. It takes caring. It takes turning. A life without self-discipline is like a ship without a captain. It takes a turning. What do you got to turn away from? Well, you need to turn away from sin, from self, and from Satan. That's the things you need to turn from. Preacher, I just turn from things? No, you need to turn to things. You need to turn to God's will, God's work, God's ways.
Amen.
God's word. That's what you need to turn to. It takes a turning for you to live for God. I'm here trying to help you this morning. It also takes trusting this morning. If you want to live for God, it takes trusting. Let me read you some verses right here. Y'all probably know these verses. Proverbs chapter number 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs, know where I'm going. Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Let's read 5 through 7. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, he shall direct thy paths. Now, number 4 to this acknowledgement. You know what this knowledge means? It means to know God on a personal level. Right? It's to be intimate with God. That intimacy that we need is us and God. It means to know about God. To acknowledge that. Send him to direct our paths. That's where we go wrong sometimes. You know where I go wrong sometimes? I try to direct my own paths. I try to plan my own day. I try to decide what I want to do for the day. I try to direct my own paths for the day. That's what the Bible tells me. No. I need to leave that to God. I need to trust him enough. I should trust him with my soul. He knows what he's doing. He's good at being God. There's nobody else that can be good at being God. And all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Trust him. Trust him with your soul. Trust him with your stuff. It's all about you. You know what else you can trust him with? You can trust him for your security today. The Bible says God's a refuge. You know that in Psalm 46? He is. Let me give you another one that we don't read as much. Psalms 9. Psalms 9, verse 10. The Bible says, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hath not forsaken them that seek thee. You know what that tells me? If I go looking for God, he's already looking for me.
Amen.
He ain't going to forsake me. He'll be there. When I go seeking him, he's already seeking me. The last one today, let me tell you something it takes to live with God. Let me tell you something a lot of people struggle with. It takes years sometimes. It takes tears. Let me give you these right here. It takes tears. We need to weep over, weep for our sins. You know, I'm afraid sometimes we weep not because of we sin, because we get caught for sin. That sorrow of our sins should lead to a changed behavior. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 7:10, for godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation. You ain't going to repent if you have godly sorrow in your heart. You ain't going to get saved until you repent of your sins.
Amen.
I don't care what kind of prayer somebody's running you through. Until you repent, the Bible says, repent, you shall likewise perish. You ain't going to get born again until you repent of your sins. That's fine. But that all comes from godly sorrow. Tears. Weeping for our sins. Weeping for our service. Psalms 125, verse 5 and 6 talks about that. But if you know what the Bible says, if we sow in tears, then we'll reap in joy. That's what the Bible says right there. There's some things we need to be shedding tears about. And the last one. We need to shed some tears over souls. Over souls. We need to shed tears over our little ones. Over our loved ones. And over our lost ones. Let me tell you, I'm just going to be honest with you, Lord. This morning, everything's transparent. You know when I've shed the most tears over my family? It's when they're hurt. Why am I not shedding tears for God to keep his child? Why am I not shedding tears for my other family to keep me saved? Why is it that we wait till everything falls apart and then we're ready to shed tears? Why is that with me? Now, I'm not saying this all the time of crying, but I'm just going to be honest with you. That's the biggest part of time when I weep when something's wrong more than anything else.
Amen. That's right.
But I'm going to tell you something. I wish I could tell you that my faith was all the way up here, but I worry about some things in my life. Right? We always tell people, we wait till everybody says, well, if you worry about it, you need to pray about it. Yes, that's true. You need to pray about it. But I'm just going to tell you, I'm just man, let's do some things I worry about. I worry about my kids. What are we going to face? Dad's not always going to be here. Mom's not always going to be there. And this world ain't getting no better. It sure doesn't go pretty.
Right.
I don't care if one Hollywood tries to tell you what they try to say, yo, it ain't getting no better. But we need to be sowing some tears, and I'm going to tell you something. You know, we'll sow some tears, and our children that have a hedge about them will reap in joy. I believe God will take care of them. God will take care of them. When's the last time we just wept over somebody else being lost? And I'm telling you this because it's so important. We put so much of a perspective on when they're sick, right? When people get sick, people get a bad diagnosis. People get diabetes. People get cancer. People get infections. People have things that go wrong with them. People are in car wrecks. People have a head injury. People have a back injury. But you know what? We see them lying there and we weep. Why are we weeping when they're lost and on the way down and going to hell? Why not? Why is it that it's just, well, it's so serious when sin lay in the hospital, baby. Let me tell you something. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Everybody's going to meet God. Not everybody's going to heaven. Everybody's going to meet God. We're going to stand before God. When's the last time? You know what? And this is something, too, when we weeped over lost people. You know what it might be? What gets God's attention might not be the words you say. It might be the tears that run down your face.
That's right.
I'm glad today, baby, we can serve a God that can read our tears.
Amen.
I can't read your tears. A lot of times we look and we see somebody with tears going down their face and we think, what's wrong with them? What could it be? It might be that there's not nothing wrong. Is it everything's right?
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Everything's right. It takes something to live for God. Okay? Miss Randy, come back and do this. Let's stand together. Are you ready to give what it takes to live for God? How much do you love God? As we stand together, these altars are open. Is there something you need to pray about today? Is there something you feel like you might be lacking in your service for God? Has God put somebody over your in front of your face today that you know is lost?
Would you just come pray for them today? What is it that you need? Miss Randy, you play whatever's on your heart. These altars are open. What do you need today?
Do you feel like God showed you that you are lacking in your service for God? Would you just come down here and offer to get right?
Maybe it's your talking. Maybe it's your walk. Maybe you're holding back on God. Maybe you're not giving God your all. Let me tell you something. You know why God deserves our all? Because He gave us His all. He said, I'll give my Son
for our sins. I'll give you somebody to die and take your place.
What is it that you need to pray about today? This isn't a question and an answer. Don't hold your hand up. We're not going to ask you to tell what's going on in your life. We just want you to tell it to God. Just tell God whatever you need this morning. Well, preacher, He already knows. He can read my heart. Yeah, but it might just be Him waiting on you to come talk to Him. What is it that you need to tell God? What is it that you need to ask God? Preacher, I feel like I asked Him for so much. Let me tell you something. You know what? You can ask many things from God because He's a big God. Don't be afraid to have big prayer requests. Don't be afraid to have big visions and big dreams. We got a big God that can take care of all. What is it that you need with that? Preacher, I just feel like I'm falling short. Well, let me tell you something. That means me and you line up because I feel like I'm falling short. You know what it is? It's our sins that we let build up and we don't confess them. Or we let things get in the way of our prayer time. Our prayer time is so much more important. A lot of people say, well, you ought to come to church. It's about singing songs and it's about preaching the word. Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of what? Of prayer. Prayer. Prayer is what gets us close to God. Prayer is what communes us with God. It might just be that we met and prayed. A lot of times we think, well, if the preacher don't use the whole hour, then we probably didn't get all God's blessings today. Sometimes we didn't pray, my goodness, the preacher went over this morning, so something else must be wrong. We're not on a time frame. I don't care if the clock's 11:30 or if it's 5:30. I just want to follow God today. That's what's important. If you're going to live for God, you might have those little things out of the way. You'll never put a time frame on your service for God. Because let me tell you something, and I'm done. But you know what it could be one day? It might be one morning. God makes with us on Sunday morning. And it might be 12:20 or 12:30 before He tells us your heart strength to meet you. And a lot of people say, what if we just leave by 12? You might not get a word from God time. Don't you want Him to help you this morning? Don't you want Him to help your family this morning? Don't you want Him to help you with your struggles this morning? Whatever it is, you can give it to God. He can take it.